Not your ex. If you don't know his government name, it's not your ex. It's your ex girl. Sorry. If you don't know his favorite color, for example, or details about him, he's not your ex. If he doesn't know about you, if you do not know the color of his sofa, or how many, or what the color of his.
Let's get started.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. Just before we start, I have a couple of announcements to make that during the week, Jeff Ottaway, former minister of Kingsthorpe Baptist Church, died, and he was 96. And also, Catherine Bruce's mother, Nellie Brown, died on Wednesday morning, and she was 99. So, our thoughts and condolences are with the families of Nellie and Jeff on this morning. Martin is going to lead our worship today. So I'll now hand over to Martin to take us through our service.
I unmute myself so you can hear me, although most of you might not want to. There you go. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're coming with expectations this morning to be blessed by God. So let's come together and pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to proclaim to all the people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvellous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll sing together our first hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about people who have been called by God. And I wonder if in our busyness of life, even in our current lockdown situation, whether we take time to try and listen for the voice of God, to wonder, to listen to see whether he's calling us by our name and what it is he's trying to say to us. So this morning, as we continue on in our service, let us just bow our heads and we'll come before God. Father, we pray that in this short time of worship, albeit a virtual one and over a computer, Lord, we thank you that you are present. We thank you that you come and you sit with us. And as we worship this morning, in what we sing, in what we hear from your word, in what we pray, in all those who are taking part, Lord, may our ears be open to hear your voice. May we be willing to listen to what you are saying to us as a congregation and also to us as individuals. Open our ears and plant the seed, Lord, in your name. Amen. We are going to have our first reading today, and it comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Jonah, which Diane is going to read for us. So thank you, Diane.
Jonah obeys the Lord. Once again, the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to walk through it. Jonah started through the city, and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. God saw what they did. He saw that they had given up their wicked behavior. So he changed his mind and did not punish them as he had said he would.
Thank you for reading that so clearly, Diane. And it's a story that most of us know, but I'm not going to focus on it now. But we are going to move on to our second hymn, which is It's Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness.
Unfortunately, Martin, I've got a technical problem with the slides. It's going to be a couple of minutes. I don't know if you want to have a prayer for a couple of minutes, before we can have the hymn.
Okay, well, whilst we've got the technical hitches, let's come before the Lord. And I think it would be good just to take a few moments to remember Catherine and her family and the family of Jeff Ottaway. So again, let's just bow our heads and remember them. Heavenly Father, we know that you have promised that you will be with us in times of need, in times where things seem rough and we need your comfort. We remember the families of Jeff Ottaway, the family and friends, and we remember Catherine and her family and all the people who knew Nellie. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with them at these difficult times where they've got to get used now to that person not being there anymore. But we thank you, Lord, that both of the people that we're thinking of knew you, had a relationship with you. And we trust that they are before you now in glory, rejoicing and celebrating. And we pray that you would bring comfort to Catherine and to Jeff's family. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would keep them in good spirits over the next weeks and months and help them, Lord, to trust in you as their lives change and they have a gap to fill. We pray that you would be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were in the church now, I'd say have a little chat amongst yourselves, but that's a bit difficult, isn't it, on Zoom? So, I'd say now, whilst we're waiting for the technical side to come up, if you're near a window, enjoy the beautiful scenery outside. Enjoy the snow as it falls. And we all think, or some of us think, oh, no, what a pain. Whereas others are thinking how lovely it looks. So just have a little chat amongst yourselves for a minute or so.
Adrian, if you want to let me screen share, I've got Light of the World here.
Okay, I think I'm just
okay.
Well, coming there. Here we come. Mm.
I hope. We'll take up your offer.
Hello. There well we done, go. Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together love. All together worthy, all together wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth. Again, we're going to have our second reading now, which Bernadette is going to read for us from the Gospel of Mark. Thank you, Bernadette.
Okay. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you very much. We're going to just hear the message now. We're trawling through quickly through the service, but let's just bow our heads as we come before the word. Father, we pray as we listen to your word. We thank you for it and for the encouragement and the teaching that it brings. And we pray that we would respond to it this morning from what you have to say. In your name, amen. Let's pop up slide 2, please, Adrian. In our reading from the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus is calling Simon and Andrew, two fishermen, ordinary people, rough and ready probably, and a bit coarse maybe in language, and used to hard living. I like the fact that in that reading that Bernadette shared, it says that Jesus saw them casting their nets. And then it adds, almost as an afterthought, because they were fishermen. I don't know what other people you would have expected to have seen casting nets. But it's interesting that the Bible tells us not only who they are and what they were doing, but actually what they were as well. And that's interesting because Jesus is interested in our lives. He's interested in you and what you do. And he's interested in me and what I do. We're not told how busy the area was as Jesus was walking through, but we are told that Jesus sees Simon and Andrew casting their nets. And we see the suggestion that their skills can be used for the kingdom, for fishing men, casting nets into the sea of unbelievers. And Jesus uses this in his calling. He says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Of course, today we should really say fishers of people. Jesus sees these two, and we are revealed, or we are shown, the simplicity of the call of God. Can you have slide 3, Adrian? The call of God is simply, come, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're not given any hint of any debate or argument, of any clarification of the call or delays. We're not, because if we are honest, probably we would have given excuses and we would have delayed. But Mark simply states, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus moves on and sees James and John doing the same thing. And immediately they follow him too. I love the reading of Mark because Mark uses this word immediately or suddenly quite a lot. It's a simple, plain message. Follow me. Christ calls each one of us with those two simple words, follow me. And it really is that simple. it becomes complicated because we put things in the way. We put too many other things alongside those two words. Come, follow me, but change. We want change immediately. When we see people becoming Christians, we want them to fit into the mold straight away. We want them to be straight away involved in church life or immediately doing things that we think they should be doing as Christians. We want change immediately. We want them to be conforming to our expectations immediately. And we want service from them immediately. But Jesus simply asks, simply gives the challenge, follow me. The change, the conformity, and the service comes because we follow him. They come out of our following him. We see the impact of his leadership. We are amazed at the wonders of his hands and the things that he performs. And those things come as a natural part of following him. It's not following the church. It's not following our teaching. It's not following our minister or those in this congregation. It's following him. And as we follow him, fruit grows in our lives. And others see him through us. We become advocates of him. We become his body here on the earth. And it really is just a simple call. And it is as simple as that. It's a simple message. And it really is for everyone. Can I have slide 4, Adrian? Our reading from Jonah shows us that even when we get it wrong, even though we might be following God and we get it wrong, then God will still use us. I wonder how many of us would have written Jonah off after the first attempt of running away from God. But we don't have a get it wrong first time and you're out clause in being a Christian. God is a God of patience and forgiveness. And when he called you by your name, which he did, and when you responded to the call of your name, which obviously you have, God had a plan for you. You might not have heard that plan in the beginning. You might not even today know necessarily what that plan is. But the fact that even if we haven't got it right yet, God hasn't given up on us. And if it were, if we get spit back up on the shore like Jonah did, God comes again with the same thing and says, go to the city of Nineveh. He didn't give up on Jonah. God is a God of patience and forgiveness. He wants us to be involved in the rescuing of sinners. And I love this part of Jonah because it shows that even in the Bible, God records the fact that people got it wrong. Jonah is a bit like me. And I think sometimes we don't, although we say we want to see people saved, I think there are some people that we sometimes think, actually, I hope they don't. Because when we get to heaven and we go to that feast, no, my luck, I'm going to end up sitting next to them at the feast. And, you know, that doesn't always ring true with us, does it? People with personality clashes or things that we think deserve to be punished. But God is a God of forgiveness. The commission is the same commission that God had given Jonah beforehand. But Jonah had tried to run away. God didn't say to him, well, you didn't do it first time, so that's it. You're out. I'll go and get somebody else to do it. He came back and he says to Jonah, basically, let's see if we can get it right this time. Can we have the 5th slide up, Adrian? Thank you. Jonah still believes that the people of Nineveh should be punished, but he also knows that if they listen to the message and they change their ways, Jonah knows that God will forgive them. They do, and Jonah is upset by this. He's annoyed by it. These people deserved to be punished. thought Jonah. Jonah was given a second chance to complete the task that God had given him. And as a result of that second chance, the whole city of Nineveh changed. They were given a second chance to change and respond to God. And they did. And as a result, God forgave them and spared their lives. That, I think, is a wonderful message. How many people do we look around and see that need to be rescued by God? And yet we sometimes give up on them. The good news is that God does never give up on anybody. There are second chances and third chances and fourth chances, and God will continually give people a chance to change. And when they change, he forgives them. How many people do we write off because we think they deserve to be punished or judged? Well, I have news for you and for me. So do we. We deserve to be judged and punished for the things that we have done, but God has forgiven us because of the work of Jesus. And he offers that same chance to everyone else. And he calls us to be his messengers. So don't get grumpy when someone who deserves punishment comes to Christ. Rejoice and be glad that they are sharing in the salvation that you have freely received. After all, Luke 15:10 states, "In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God, of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents." Share the good news as Jonah did. Rejoice when people change. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for accepting me as I am. Help me to share the joys of my life, of my forgiveness, and of my love for you with others. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, and then Paul is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. We're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
To follow Jesus.
Let's come now to God in prayer. I thought this morning, as we come to our prayers and thinking of others, rather than try and sort of go through a list of things, we might just spend some time bringing individually the things that are upon our minds. I think it's so easy sometimes when we pray for others, we miss people out, or we try and pray for everything, and it's quite difficult sometimes. So I want us just to have a few moments now where we think of somebody else or a situation or something that's upon our mind, and just bring that before God at this time. And then I'll just spend a few moments then, perhaps just directing our thoughts in particular ways. So let's just bring before God now something that's upon our heart, or somebody, Lord, that needs praying for at this time. Heavenly Father, we are very conscious that when we come before you in prayer, that we find it sometimes very difficult to know exactly what to pray for. There are so many things, Lord, that we could be bringing to you. But we thank you, Father, that you are a God who knows our thoughts, the very groanings of our hearts, Lord, before we even utter them upon our lips. And as Martin reminded us this morning, Father, you're interested in each one of us. You know us through and through. You created each one of us, Father. And Father, you know the things, Lord, that are upon our hearts this morning. We think, Lord, of those who perhaps are unwell at this time, those who are sick at home or in hospital. We've already thought this morning of Jeff and Catherine and their families, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, for them at this difficult time. We pray, Lord, for those in our congregation who are going through difficult times because of work at the moment, or uncertainty because of their employment. We pray, Lord, for those with financial difficulties, those who are feeling isolated or depressed, or can't see a way forward, Father, at this time. We thank you, Father, that you place us in fellowships, units, Father, that help us to pray for one another and support one another. And we thank you, Lord, particularly for our leaders, Father, those who you've sent to serve us and to help us and encourage us. And Lord, we do pray for our deacons at this time and our church leaders. For those, Lord, who willingly give up their time to keep things running, Lord. Those with responsibilities, Lord, for keeping the building going, for the finances, and for ensuring, Lord, that our legal obligations are met. Those that spend time, Lord, preparing and bringing our services, Lord, and preaching your word. Father, you call each of us in different ways to follow you. And we just pray, Lord, this morning that the call that you have given to each one of us might be one, Lord, that we're willingly and gladly following. Lord, we just pray for each other, Lord, and we just pray that we might uphold and strengthen one another. We pray, Lord, for our weaknesses. And Father, we know if we're honest that there's a bit of the Jonah in each of us. Lord, you tell us to do one thing and we do completely the opposite. But yet, Father, you're a God who sustains us, who forgives us, who gives us second, third, fourth, fifth chances, Lord, and wants to put us, Father, upon a new path. We just pray, Lord, today that perhaps, Father, you might have spoken to us and just given us some kind of renewed hope to serve you obediently and gladly for the rest of our days, Lord, here on earth. And Father, we just now pray that prayer that you taught your disciples, that remind us that we are to follow you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading us in our prayers. And also thank you to Diane and to Bernadette for doing our readings for us, and particularly the chap who sits in the background every week operating everything. Thank you, Adrian, for helping put together this service. As we sing our last hymn together, the hymn is, "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?" And I want you to think about the words as you sing them, because the response that we offer is really important. So let's sing together. Thank you, Father, for the call that you have given each one of us. Thank you for the words of that song. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? And may each one of us, as we draw to a close, consider our response. We pray that you would be with us as we go into this coming week, that you would keep us safe, and that even in this lockdown, you would enable us to be messengers of yours and examples of you. And together, we pray and say the grace. May the grace of our
Lord Jesus Christ.
Bless you all. Thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the storm.
Yeah, quite a bit now.
Cheers.
That at the beginning wasn't an open invitation for you to send it here. In that short time, we are now.
We thought we needed to share things with you.
And when I say we're covered, we've got as much of you as Catherine showed, if not more now.
Hang on,
be patient.
While the service has been on, we've had about three or four people walking past our the front of our house from the park, and they were rolling a big ball up to their waist in snow.
That's Bob Malloy. Bob Malloy.
We had a car go up outside the other side, the green here, couldn't make it, had to turn around.
Really?
I'll come back. Oh.
Well, it's a very bad driver then, I should say. Never got stuck in snow in my life.
Try my road.
Yeah. At least we haven't got to trudge home in the snow.
Twins are very excited this morning. This is the first time they'll be out in the snow. So
apparently.
Okay, I haven't got any special notices today, just that our prayers in the week are Monday, Wednesday and Friday as usual, and our service next Sunday morning at 11, which I'm leading. I don't know, Trevor, are there any Methodist notices today?
No, nothing specific this week, no.
Has anybody else got any notices they want to bring to people's attention?
What's going on? Yes.
Can I just say something? Just want to say thank you, everyone, for all of the prayers and texts and cards and phone calls and emails that I've received since Mum passed. I really appreciate all of them, and I'm really feeling lots of love and support at the moment. And I'm sure that will continue. We haven't got a date for the funeral yet, but planning for it to be at Kingsthorpe Baptist, and hoping that Nikki, our last minister, will take the service. So just trying to finalise that, but it might not be for a few weeks yet.
Catherine's mother.
Oh, Nelly Brown. Yeah.
Thank you.
And we've received a thank you letter from the Hope Centre for our donation at Christmas. So they were very delighted and thankful for the help and prayers that we sent to them after our carol service.
Thank you. In which case, all of you to say is go out and make some snow angels.
Well done. Yeah. Thank you, Martin. Yeah. And
bye,
everybody.
Bye. Mark and Alison.
Bye.
Yeah, good luck with the move, Mark and Alison. Okay. See you soon.
Yeah. Bye.
I miss you.